Welcome to the Art of Intentional Creation.
Today, our hearts want to the space of in-between, commonly known as the process of transitions. And so we listened.
The process of transitions, how we get from one place to the next. In terms of, again, the art of intentional creation, you know, we have something that our heart is longing for, and there's an unfolding process that takes us from that longing of our heart to the fulfillment of that longing in our outer experience. So, Violetta, if you could start by sharing a little bit about the transition that you're in at the moment.
Okay. So I feel like I'm going through a next stage. I feel like my life goes in those little spirals, little bubbles. You know, when we think of transitions in life, when you think of your life in general, we always wanted it to be an upgrade. So we often imagine progress as this line that goes vertically or 45 degrees up. And ideally, we would like it to be a straight shot. Mm. Well, as we know in life, it's rarely that, right? Yeah. Usually, it's a tangled little line that keeps going up and down and loops around. And you know how they say, two steps forward, three steps back, right? And it can be frustrating AF. Let me tell you.
Yes.
I don't know if any of you experience any of that.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. I think being human, that's part of being the being human experience. Yes.
Mm. So, yes, I think like it's being human, like you said. And with that being said, I think what's important is keeping the big picture and managing expectations. So I guess being realistic and agreeing for this process to be messy, just like the human experiences, and for it to be complicated and be back and forth and a squiggly line. And I think that just the fact of expecting that and having that realistic expectations already helps managing frustration and impatience that shows up with the experience.
Yeah.
And then maybe instead of expecting it to be a straight line, just being, you know what, as long as it keeps going up, that's good enough.
Okay. All right. So I'm present to a couple of things based on what you just said, but I want to start by asking you, in your experience, in your words, what does it feel like to be in that space?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, all kinds of feelings coming up. If I was to give you a visual, I think of a big picture of my life, and I have markers, points of reference. And so as I'm sitting here and now on my timeline, I can see something in the past, often it's something specific. What I'm present to currently is where I was in life 3 years ago. Mm. So like this point on the timeline of 3 years ago. And very clearly I see who I was then, where I was in life. And then I see the route, the journey that has been taking place between that point in time, 3 years ago, and me today. And then naturally I'm present to all the transitions and changes, right? And then as I'm being here, I feel this gratitude. I feel how amazing it's been. I'm present to lots of progress, lots of changes. And that feeling, it's nice. It's pleasant. It's satisfying. It's acknowledging the struggle. It's acknowledging the wins. It's acknowledging the learnings from things that maybe didn't seem like a win at the time, because on the line we were talking about, they were the dips down, right? Uh-huh. Or they were the little plateaus when it seemed like oh, I just went down, or nothing is happening, it's not here yet. But then there was another spurs and the line went up and it ended up getting closer to the desired destination. Mm-hmm. Right? So looking back, when I think of a stretch of time between the marker 3 years ago and the marker being here now, overall is this feeling of, wow, that's amazing. Lots to be grateful for. Mm. Well done.
Yes. Right? Yes.
Which is beautiful. It's very fulfilling. It's peaceful. It's restful.
Yes.
At the same time, I'm also present to another sensation. Is when I throw a line, imagine if you are fly fishing, you're throwing a line, right? Yep. Or axe throwing, you throw something to mark the next point, yeah. Right? Sharp as a tag, right? Yep.
I love okay. That you just go straight to axe throwing. That's that's just like, oh yeah, you know, when you're axe throwing. Okay.
I mean, listen, you know, I believe that if the work is worth doing, it's worth being done right. So just aim and fire.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We all need destinations, right? If we don't have those desired destinations, we virtually are like a GPS that has all this data in it, but it's sort of useless unless you request it to do something specific for you. Right? Mm-hmm. That's how the GPS works. That's how imagination works. That's how intention works. That's why they're so important, right? Yeah. We first have to be clear on what we want. Mm-hmm. And then have a general direction that we're heading to, then not get caught up on how, and I don't know how, and it doesn't look like it, and it doesn't make sense, and all that kind of self-talk, right? Which is natural, comes from ego, from our logical mind. So we have to have this general destination we're getting to. So that's the little dot I'm sitting on right now. And then I'm throwing the line or throwing an axe, right? Mm-hmm. I know where I want to be in 3 years in my life.
Yes.
And it's a general sensation. It's a general vision. I sort of know what it is, but it's not super specific. I'm very present to how it would feel. And that feels amazing. But it's not there yet, right? Yes. So from where I am, there needs to be a bridge that needs to be built to bridge me toward that place.
Yes.
And so you ask me how it feels to be in that place where I am right now.
Yeah.
So I already described to you the last bridge I went through to get to where I am.
Yes.
Looking, and it didn't feel like that then. I feel then it felt like it feels now for the next bridge. But looking back, it feels good, as I described to you already. Gratitude and fulfillment and patting myself on the back for a job well done. Looking forward is more anxious. It's less defined.
Uh-huh.
There is much more impatience, uh-huh. frustration.
Uh-huh.
This feeling of, well, I want it to be a hell yes. So unless it's a hell yes, it's a no.
Yes.
But then there is this point of like, well, but it has to be somehow in between. So the second step, if it's not a hell yes, is trying to find a good enough.
Uh-huh.
Something that's good enough. That's a good replacement, or should I say placeholder.
Yes, placeholder. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So to use an example I'm very present to recently is an upgrading my house. I had some remodeling done, new floors, new carpets, which prompted me to do deep cleaning, freshen things up, move things around for this new fresh beginning. And I disposed of things that I felt a no for, that they were bringing sort of some kind of negative, maybe, emotion. But as I said, the things that are, I have a vision of how I want it to feel, but the small elements are not quite manifesting yet. Mm-hmm. And so meanwhile, I am putting new towels, new decor, new lamps. And however I'm looking at them, they nod, hell yes, I'm loving this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But they do feel good.
Yeah.
They, and also I'm very present to this feeling of like, oh, what a relief. This is so much better than what was replaced.
Yes.
So it's both this weird feeling of like some kind of dissatisfaction because it's not this grandioso perfection.
Yeah.
But also this feeling of, oh, well, this is good for now. This yes. will do. This holds the space. This gets me closer.
Yes. Yeah, it's...
So lots of mixed feelings.
Yeah, is it, that's what I'm present to. Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot kind of woven together there. So, you know, you're like, okay, so I look back 3 years ago and I reflect upon the journey and I honor the struggle of everything that I've gone through, all of the transitions to get me to this moment now. And when I do that, I feel gratitude and I feel peaceful. And it, you said it feels, you know, like restful. I love that. I love that's a word that you have for it. So there's that, yes. And then there's also this looking ahead and there's this longing because your heart knows what that next point is that you're throwing your axe to. Your heart's looking ahead and saying, okay, I know this next milestone in this journey that I'm traveling. So then there's that. And then there's this moment where you look around, and you're like, okay, and yet here I am in this moment. And it's not quite that I'm looking ahead to yet. And it's definitely not what I came from 3 years ago. I'm in the in-between. And so, you know, like you said, mixed feelings. There's really the whole spectrum present in the present moment. And, you know, what's interesting, Violetta, is that this is not something that only happens from time to time. This experience of being in the in-between. Really, our entire life is made up of being in the in-between. Like, human life is the in-between.
Oh my gosh, you're so right. You're so right. You know, it's so funny. I think it's so tricky. We often think of the markers, or you know how there's this saying, connecting the dots. Right? Yes. So we mark our lives through those points in time that we seem to head from one to another, and we keep focusing on those points. Well, the tricky part about it is it's easy to connect the dots looking back because it already happened, right? It's much harder when you are standing on the dot and there is no another dot, right? Mm-hmm. Or the dot you... axe throwing toward is so far away, you need to come up with smaller points in between, but they're not specific yet. They're not marked down. There's no stake in the ground yet. And therefore, you can't really connect those dots yet, right? Mm-hmm. And like you said, we think of life as something that like happens, I guess, but really we should think of it as something that is happening, because you're right, it's always in between the line, the dots, the points. We keep focusing on the dots, but the truth is the dots are what, 10% of this experience?
Yeah,
like being on a dot.
Yep.
Because what happens, you get to the dot, it often looks entirely different than you imagine.
Yep.
So sometimes you have a hard time recognizing it. Uh-huh. Right? And even if it does look like you imagined, you find out, oh, that's actually not quite what I wanted. Or, I thought it would feel different. Or you think, well, it does look like I wanted. It does feel good. And what happens next? Immediately, your mind and your ego jumps to, well, great, what's next?
Right, right. Yes.
So you're right. You are so right. Yes, 90% of the time we are in between the dots. means we are the in-between space and we are in a transition. Because life is a constant change, right?
Yes.
So we all, in a sense, we are always in those growing pains, right?
Yes. All.
So I guess it's to be expected to feel this way.
Yeah. So I feel like, you know, I feel like on one level, we're kind of now at the point where we're normalizing it. It's like, okay, well, this is not, this is not unusual to be in this feeling of being in between. It's not unusual by any stretch. It's actually normal. And let's go ahead and expand that even further and say that, okay, life is actually an experience of being in between. That's really what it is. You know, this is a little bit of a random example, but I'm present to it in the moment. And I just want to share it from my heart.
Please do.
I was on a trip with my older brother recently, and my older brother has a number of tattoos, particularly up his left arm and onto his upper chest. And he had gotten a few more since I had really had a conversation with him about his tattoos. So being on a trip with him, I had the opportunity to ask him. And so I said, hey, so what is the story behind, you know, the tattoos and your choices behind the tattoos? And turns out for him, they were largely significant of his spiritual journey, religious and spiritual journey. Mm-hmm. So he had one that was from when he identified more as a Christian, and he had another one from when he converted to Orthodox Christianity. And then he kind of had some art that happened in between that like kind of gave some context between those two things. And then he points down to his wrist where he has all of these little triangles, like probably 50 or 60 of them coming up over the tattoos up his arm. And he said, and this is the tattoo that I got when I realized that change is the only constant. So his tiny little triangle, so the symbol of delta, right? The scientific symbol for change or difference. So he was like, you know, I start off being here, and then I changed it to this perspective, and then I changed to this perspective. And then I realized that really all I can really claim to hold is the endless change. Everything is always changing, transitioning, unfolding. Change is the only constant.
Wow, I love that. Because, you know, I was thinking he literally tattooed it on his skin, on his body, right?
Yeah.
As a visual reminder of a stake in the ground or on a dot. He was on a dot, like you said, when he did the Christian symbol, right?
Yep.
He was at that point in his life.
Yes.
Then when he transitioned, right, the in-between space, and then arrived to the next destination at that time, which was the Orthodox phase, right?
Yes.
That was a visual reminder. The literal dot on his body, right? And the truth is, you know, some people use tattoos to do that, but we all have it tattooed in us, in our mind, in our memory, right? In our energy, in how we feel about things, right? So I love that the reminder of like, wow, here's the map of where I've been, but instead of identifying with it, what I really need to keep in mind is the higher perspective, the bigger picture. It's the triangles, the delta, the change.
Yes.
And that becomes a hanger. You can hang on different things that are currently happening with little hooks, then you can exchange them, right? And keep hanging different things on.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Yeah.
Really nice.
So I love what you said there about how, some people choose to mark their external skin with reminders of these things, but really we all carry the markings of our experiences on the inside, whether or not we represent it on the outside as well.
So,
beautiful truth there. Okay, so understanding that really it is the change, it is the constant growth and transition that is that is the 90% of our experience, 10% being standing on the milestones and looking back and looking forward. If we're going to embrace the fact that most of our life is spent in these periods of change and of transition, what is the perspective, like the perspective of empowerment, or what is the frame that we can consciously choose to adopt to help us make sense of this in-between space? And not just to make sense of it and to be at peace with it, but like also to, I use the word empowered, like how do we structure our vision in a way that we can embrace actively the in-between space and say, hey, this is where I am right now. And how do we fully root and ground into the present moment and appreciate it for what it is and balance all of those feelings that we're present to in the meantime?
That's a great question. So if I understand right, you're asking when in between what to do and how to handle it?
Precisely.
Well, I think there's many elements to it. I think one good one is to keep remembering that it is only now and not forever.
Yes.
I think that often when we are in some kind of feeling or situation, it may feel much more permanent than it really is. Because it's real at the time, right? We are very present to it. We have thoughts, we have feelings, we have real things happening on the outside. There are decisions to be made. There are consequences of those decisions, right? So I feel like often we may put too much pressure on ourselves and make it seem more significant than it is. And I think that remembering that it's just a little speck on a line of time, like it releases this tension and gives us more room to breathe. If that makes sense. That being said, I think another thing is keeping the big picture in mind and not getting lost in details. Which that leads us to another step, I think, is clarity. So if we think of a big picture, right, how do we clarify and clear our vision of, okay, overall on the big picture, what is it that I want? Right? I may not know the specifics yet. I may not know the entire road mapped out. I may not even know how the hell I'm going to get there because it doesn't seem real yet or doable yet. But by I think keeping this big picture in mind and clarifying little steps helps us adjusting the course just in the general direction of it.
Yes.
And being okay, you know what? It is a messy human experience. And you know what? I just need to be okay with this feeling sloppy, you know?
Yes.
As long as I know I'm on a general course and I'm getting there, somehow close there.
Yes.
Like I'm throwing this axe in the direction of that board, okay?
Yeah.
Maybe it's not going to be a bullseye right away.
Right.
You know? Maybe it's not even going to stick to that board.
Yep.
But even if it's not going to stick to the board, it only further helps me clarify and adjust the course. I know I need to aim higher or lower or more to the left. So it's still useful.
Yes.
It's still helpful. Even if it doesn't seem perfect and it's not, you know, the score right away, right?
Yeah.
I think that often when we think of a place we want to get to, again, using the example of a GPS, you know, if you were in Seattle and you wanted to get to Chicago, you wouldn't try to memorize the entire route. Even if you put it in a GPS, the GPS would not tell you every single turn you need to make. Mm-hmm. Right? How do you get from Seattle to Chicago? one damn turn at a time.
Yes. Yes.
Right? So that's, so I think like for me, it's very true. And I'm guessing I'm not special or weird in that way. I think more people may experience that. And that's why I want to share that. I often get overwhelmed by details, by the how, and then get fried up. So I need to remind myself, okay, one turn at a time.
Yes.
Just to the next crossroad. Just to the next intersection. And I don't know what's going to be there when I get there because I'm not there yet and I don't know how it looks like. But I just need to trust that when I do get to this intersection, something is going to come up. A feeling, a thought, an intuition, a hunch, you know, a some kind of, I'm going to see a new sign, just like on a road, right? That I cannot see from two intersections back.
Yes. Yes. Ooh, I love what you just said right there. Yes, understand that I can't see all of the turns right now, but when I get up to the one, you know, then I'll be able to see the next turn. Yes, it's the unfolding. Yep.
Yeah, and trusting, you know, trust. Yes. I think that's a huge one. Trusting in the unfolding and trusting in a process and in ourselves that we may not know now, but we will know when the time comes.
Yes.
We always do.
We always do. Yes. And I'm present to a part of my journey where I wasn't sure if I could trust myself to know. And I remember having those feelings. I was like, Am I going to know, like, would it bumps me on the nose? Will I recognize it? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to understand that, yes, that's always the case. We always do know on some level, and we have the opportunity to cultivate our knowing, our ability to recognize it by cultivating our relationship with our inner being.
Mm-hmm. And I also think that we really cannot miss out on what's meant for us.
Yeah, I agree. Yes, that's a powerful one.
Yeah. And I feel like, well, that leads me to another part of this process is we were talking about trust and believing in yourself, that you can trust your intuitions or you can trust yourself to be in a knowing. And I think that another part of this process is to be kind and loving with ourselves as we are in this process.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I may be the only one on planet Earth, but I do get impatient with myself and judgy and pushy, you know, and mean with myself. And, you know, and it comes in the form of, oh, come on already. You should know it by now, or you should know better, or how come you don't know, or hurry up already, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of thing that really do not help the process at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, if you think of yourself as, imagine you were a little child, and that's how the parent would talk to you, I doubt that would actually help you figure things out. Right?
Yes.
What we do need in this moment is more a loving, embracing, patient encouragement.
Yes.
And so I would say being kind and loving with ourselves is a very important part of this process. Being patient and not rushing it and just trusting that, you know, everything really does have a perfect divine timing.
Yes.
And just the fact that our ego wants something else and our mind tells us it should be something else and it feels real doesn't mean it's the best for the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I feel like we do feel we know better, but we don't. Like so often looking back at my life, I think of situations that when I was in them, they did not feel good.
Mm-hmm.
They did not feel present. They did not make sense. Mm-hmm. I was pissed and bent out of shape about them.
Mm-hmm.
And then looking back, I think, wow, look at that. I can only appreciate that because then something else unfolded out of this that needed to unfold. And without that unfolding, I wouldn't get to that third dot that I wanted to get to.
Yes. Yeah.
So that loops me back to, remember how I described to you 3 years ago, the dot called 3 years ago.
Yep.
And then the bridge and the transition to, okay, here I am sitting on my couch, right? And then another dot that there is no bridge built yet 3 years from now. And how I described to you the in-between the dot spaces.
Yes.
How I compare to the past experience, like looking back, feeling, wow, what a ride, what a trip, right? Yes, it was hard. It was confusing. It was difficult. But hey, I did make it and I made it just fine, right? And acknowledgement and fulfillment and gratitude and peace, feeling that I had inside.
Mm-hmm.
And then remember I described to you the coming up feeling and more of anxiety, unknown, needed to be clarified further, impatience, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought this, I had this thought, you know, if we would be able to be in the presence and feel about it how we did about the past, I think that would be the ultimate place to handle the change. Does that make sense?
To be in the present and choose to feel about it the way that we feel about the past.
Yes.
Aha.
So like I explained to you, like I felt gratitude, fulfillment, honoring the struggle, right? Surrendering, trusting. So if we could recall those feelings that we have looking at the past and be present to them now,
mm-hmm.
about the future.
Yes.
I think helps the process.
Yeah. That strikes me as a very wise way of looking at something in real time as it's unfolding. It's like this, you know, you think of like almost the grandfather, grandmother archetype of like, you know, just kind of having this calmer, more wise approach to the to's and fro's of life. And I feel like it's easier to have that perspective when you're looking in the rearview mirror than mm-hmm. when you're actually in traffic and it's unfolding right in front of you. But if you're able to tune mm-hmm. into that space and adopt the same perspective, I love how you said that. If you can adopt the same perspective, the same eyes with which you look behind you, and use those eyes to see the world around you right now in this present moment, that is that higher, wiser perspective. And I think that the end result of that, you know, how that manifests is, I think that manifests as peace with where mm-hmm. we are, when we are.
Yes. Peace, this exact word that came to me when I was listening to you, so beautifully paraphrasing what I was trying to say. Yeah, it feels more restful. It feels more peaceful. Mm-hmm. I feel like it settles this, you know, kind of like when you shake the globe, mm-hmm. right? And the snow or the gold flakes are twirling all over mm-hmm. and it takes time for it to settle.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that is the effect that looking back in the past and maybe adopting a little of that perspective and feeling would do in the presence.
Allowing it to settle.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So then we have more clarity and see the bigger picture. It has a chance to unfold
mm-hmm.
more than when we are frantically in the little bubble of our current reality.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, I feel like very often, literally on a daily basis, I have this experience of duality where I am both experiencing what's happening and I'm very much in the experience of it mm-hmm. and it's very real mm-hmm. and tangible. And then they have another part of me that sort of looks on the outside of it as an observer.
Mm-hmm.
And sees the bigger picture without the attachment to it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does, yes.
And so that makes me think like, okay, what's happening right here, right now, feels super real. Feels like all that is, because it's tangible, right? It's right in front of me. I'm feeling it. I'm seeing it. I can touch it. And sometimes getting lost in this perspective is like being enclosed. Imagine if you were blowing bubbles. And there you are inside of this bubble.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like a current reality. And sometimes it's hard to be like, wait, it's just a little bubble.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many more bubbles outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning other parallel possibilities of realities,
mm-hmm.
right? And I don't need to be in this one only.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I love traveling so much. I feel like traveling is what takes us out of our reality, our little bubble,
mm-hmm.
when we're getting used to things being a certain way. And sometimes we forget that there are so many other ways to do it. To handle
yes.
it, to react, to conduct life.
Yes.
And it's so obvious when we travel, like when we visit somebody else and see how they, you know, chose to, whatever, decor the space, right? Or we go to another country and we see, wow, those people have such a different lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I don't know, I'm sure there are elements that are like so-called better and elements so-called worse, but the thing that fascinates me is the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Of like, oh, wow, how different can you choose to conduct life?
Mm-hmm.
So the that's gift. What I mean by a bubble of reality.
Yeah.
You know, like keep in mind that your current bubble of reality is not the reality.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's just a little speck of it. It's just your current bubble that came from your beliefs, right? Your feelings, your actions, your choices.
Yes.
And it's just what's being right now. And you created it. Therefore, by having an awareness of what it is, you can recreate it.
Mm-hmm. I love the bubble analogy, Violetta. And I'm reminded of an analogy that my father, in his infinite wisdom, gave me once. He said, Josiah, have you ever been out in nature and you're by a stream? And have you ever seen the little bubbles that are naturally created on the stream by, you know, like the algae or whatever it is? Like it could be like these little bubbles. And like sometimes the bubbles will break loose of like the little area where they're being formed, and you'll see these bubbles floating down the stream. And he goes, Josiah, that's you in your life. You are a bubble floating down
a
stream.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
And he said, in this particular example, he was talking about finding other people. And he said, sometimes you find other bubbles to travel down the stream with.
I love it. Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Isn't that adorable?
So awesome. Thank you for that. I'm super visual. I love those. Mm-hmm. That is sticking with me. Yes. Thank you. I like
of
that.
Of course. Okay. So I think this has been a very eye-opening exploration so far. And there's one thing that as we've been talking so far, there's one thing that I'm incredibly aware of, one concept. And I want to explore how it applies. And the concept is, are you ready?
I am so ready.
The concept is joy.
Okay. Tell me more.
Joy. Okay. So on one of my student calls the other night, one of my students, friend of mine, was sharing, and she says, you know, she's like, there's one thing that I feel like everybody could really become more present to, could talk more about, could share more about, could be more like in tune with. And she's like, and that is joy. I'm not talking about happiness. I'm talking about joy. And she says that feeling where when you wake up in the morning, and she said, and let's start with lack. Let's say, you know, you don't have, you know, a house to live in. Let's say you don't have a car to drive. Let's say you don't have a partner. Let's say you don't have a job. Let's start in lack first. Pretend, like, imagine we have none of these things. Can we reach into our soul?
Or one that we are very present to, right?
Or that we are very present to, yes.
Yeah.
Can we reach into our soul, and can we find our joy that is completely independent of all of the circumstances of our life?
That felt so good in my body. It felt like reaching somewhere really deep, like to the core.
Yes.
Of this place that's unshakable, regardless of the earthquakes around, the fires that we're putting out every day.
Well said,
This solid place of just being rooted and grounded and centered, of this divine knowing, this security of like being able to take a deep breath and say, I know it's okay. I know everything is working out for my highest good, and I am safe, regardless of how it may appear on the outside.
Yes. Yes.
Beautiful.
Divine
that
knowing.
So good.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I am safe. I am secure. I know everything is working out for me, regardless of how it appears in the moment. And there's this thrill, this joy of being here and having this experience, no matter what that experience looks like. Just dialing it all back to just that, you know, it's like in the heart-brain coherence meditations, we talk about cultivating that feeling of gratitude. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, without making up a story about it, so like, oh, I'm grateful for my house or my car, my job. No, none of that. Like, let's just go back to the very, very basics. I'm grateful to be alive. I'm grateful that I have a body. Like, I'm grateful that I woke up this morning, that I have my five senses, my six senses, that I can interact with the world around me. You know, or I should say however many senses, you know, because we're all gifted with various numbers, but like whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to really bring this back to what we're talking about here, you know, we're talking about this endless experience of being in the in-between. And and yes, it's about looking back and finding that restful place of, okay, in the big picture, I know I'm well on the way. I'm proud of myself for how far I've come. I'm honoring the journey. I'm honoring the struggle. And then it's looking ahead and saying, yes, I know I can't be everywhere at once. It is an unfolding. I understand that things are sequential in this experience, and I'm okay with that. And then it's also looking around you and saying, okay, everything's in transition. And, you know, I have these things and I'm grateful for them. They're not my hell yeah, but they're still good enough. And then it's all of that. And it's, can we, in the midst of being present to all of this, can we tap into our joy?
You know, the book, Power Versus Force, everything vibrates. Everything has frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Places, thoughts, feelings, objects.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they appear different,
mm-hmm.
right? And they're not solid, although they appear solid. So Hawkins did that scale for emotions as well, for feelings.
Yep.
And joy vibrates higher than love, even. Love vibrates around 500. Mm-hmm. Joy vibrates around 700.
Wow.
Yes, it's a very powerful frequency to be in, a frequency of joy.
Wow. I'm so glad you shared that. Yes.
Yes.
You know, I have that book on my coffee table.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about almost a halfway through it. And yes.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. I haven't finished yet, but I have some travel coming up. It's coming with me, so I'm hoping to finish it on my travel. But yes, that is such a powerful insight to understand that joy is even the energy signature of joy is even more powerful than that of love.
Yes, and I think how we can access joy in this process is by getting out of our bubble, by seeing the bigger picture, and by honoring the past and trusting. All those things we already talked about, right?
Yes, yes.
And surrendering into the process and being okay that, oh my gosh, it's never a destination. It really is not. Mm-hmm. It's always a process.
Mm-hmm.
So might as well try to enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
Because those places, really, maybe we should flip that concept and think of the dots and the destinations as the in-between.
Oh, you just did it. You just cracked it wide open.
You know?
Yes. Yes. That's it. That's it. It's going on my wall. Yes, you're so right. You're so right. Yes.
Oh my gosh. So, you know, all we can do is do our best and forget the rest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As one of my favorite trainers used to say, you know, just 99% of success is to show up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, so just show up and do your best. And be okay with it. See.
Mm-hmm.
So, and even if it's sloppy, you know, aim and fire.
Yes.
And correct after.
Yes. And be gracious and merciful with yourself. Mm-hmm. Like allow yourself, you know, it's like I did my you know, a lot of times when you leave a job, you do an exit interview. With the HR and kind of recap, you know, like positive and constructive, we'll say, feedback, going in both directions. You know, they give it to you, you give it to them. So I mm-hmm. went through an exit interview a couple of days ago. I think it was about 3 days ago for the job that mm-hmm. I just transitioned from, and. Mm-hmm. In the job, or in the interview, she said to me, the HR director, she said to me, you know, I've come to realize that I active, like my pattern recognition in my brain basically actively seeks out problems, like actively looks mm-hmm. for the problems. And I'm thinking, well, that's part of what makes you a great HR director. But also, it's important to understand, like, if that's the case, if we're kind of tuned, if we're kind of programmed to actively seek out the problems, it's important to understand that about ourselves and give ourselves some grace and choose to maybe take a step back and say, okay, I know my normal thing is to look for problems, but maybe I should take that moment to look back at the big picture and understand that it's not just problems that are happening. There's also a lot of things that are going well. So she shared this with me as part of, you know, when I was sharing some of my constructive feedback about what I think they could do better. She said, yes, I totally see that. I'm also kind of wired to see problems. So I've seen that for a while. And she said, you know, I just attended this leadership conference. And she said, my big takeaway was this concept of good enough to move on.
Yes.
Getmo is what she said. Getmo. Good enough to move on. And I
wonderful.
Isn't that so mm-hmm. pertinent to what we're talking about?
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love the acronym having that.
Yes.
Yes. That's exactly what I meant. And to your point, I'm so glad you brought it up. Like you said about how we define things as problems, right? May I offer a powerful reframe for that?
Yes.
Because we do think of it, oh shit, here's an obstacle. Well, here's a setback. Well, this didn't go how I wanted to. Well, oh man, now I have to deal with this on top of everything else. So if we, instead of defining it in our brain as problems, I'm not asking to dismiss it and pretend it's not there. I'm asking to reframe it, to put a different color lens on it.
Yes.
So here is a so-called problem. And it's real, we're facing it, right? I'm not saying pretend it's not there. All I'm saying is, hey, what if instead of looking at it as a problem, we make it an insight?
Mm.
Or we make it a marker or a pointer or a source of learning.
Mm-hmm.
Or we think of it, here is, quote, additional information I need to consider. Well, how additional does it change my view? Right?
Yep.
And that leads me to language. So even in language, if we say, I have to do something, feels very different than when we say, well, I guess I get to now reconsider my options.
Right?
Well, I get to remap that scenario now.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was this way. Well, to be more creative or change my perspective.
Reimagine.
I get to take a detour.
Yep. There you go. Yeah. Oh, the road's closed. Guess I get to take a detour.
Right.
Get to go sightseeing. Doesn't
that feel so different? Right. Doesn't that feel so different in a body just saying, oh, I have to? Doesn't that feel heavy and dooming and gloom?
Yes.
Versus I get to?
Yes.
Or I choose to?
I choose to. Now that's the empowered way to say it. Yes. I choose to.
Mm-hmm.
That's embodying your power, making a choice, making a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Hmm.
Feels good. Okay. I feel like we really cracked that open. And there's one other thing that I want to touch on. And then I think I may be complete, and I welcome any further comments you have as well. So I get these messages in my inbox from time to time that say something to the effect of, I know what I want. I can see it very, very clearly. I've acted on all of my inspired hunches. You know, I've taken all of the inspired action, and I don't know what else to do. What else do I do? Like, what do I do now? You know, because this whole idea of manifesting, people reach out to me. They're like, hey, I'm trying to manifest something. I've gotten the clarity on it. I've taken the action on it. And like, I don't see anything else to do. Tell me, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
And my answer, this is what I tell them. I say, self-care. Self-care.
Yes.
That is that bridge. The bridge between everything I just said, the clarity of the imagination, the taking inspired action, and then it's like, well, then what do? You wait. And what do you do while you're waiting? You take care of yourself.
Josiah, that is precious. Diamonds right there. Okay. So the bridge from where we are and when we want to be is built off acting, well, being clear on our hunches, listening to our hunches, acting on them, taking inspired actions, and self-care in the process of doing so.
Wow.
Wow. It's right.
Cracked it wide open. Yes.
That is so awesome. Yes, the bricks of the bridge are having an intention, right? Of something comes to us that we want a destination that we're going to get to. My intention is to be in this place or accomplish this or for this to happen, right?
Yes.
It comes first with this desire of the heart.
Yes.
So we have the desire of the heart that goes to an intention. Then we further clarify it, right? Then when it becomes clearer on what that is we want or desire, we start having those hunches that come to us, the little markers.
Yes.
That the subconscious, unconscious sends us, right? We start acting on them. We start taking those inspired actions.
Yes.
And we are in the process of growing pains or giving birth to something new, right? We take care of ourselves. We are being loving and kind with ourselves. We are being patient. We are looking at the bigger picture. We are surrendering. We are trusting. We are doing our best and forgetting the rest. And this is how this bridge of transition is being built, one brick at a time.
Yes.
So I just had this image coming to me. When we think of, here I am on a dot, or imagine you are on one side of body of water.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, I want to be on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
That's my destination. Well, how do I get there, right? If I'm going to swim, it's going to be one stroke at a time. If I'm going to build a bridge, we often think, okay, this bridge has to just appear. It has to be there already ready, like the entire bridge, right? How about being okay with building the bridge as we go? Meaning you throw one brick ahead or two of them and you step on the first one as you're throwing three more.
Mm-hmm.
And you have just enough bricks in front of you to be able to step on something, but they don't have to be all built up to the next side, to the other side you're going to. Does that make sense?
Yes.
How they say, build your plane as you're already flying it.
Yes. Yeah.
I kind of like the visual that just came to me of this bridge, you know, kind of hanging, suspended in the air, halfway there, and those brick being thrown over,
mm-hmm.
and it's building as you're hopping mm-hmm. on it from one brick to another.
Yes.
A process, an in-between, a transition.
Yes.
That's really all it is.
Yes.
And like you said, it's, you know, as far as long as you keep moving and you're moving forward and up in a general direction, it's good enough.
Good enough to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay. Does that wrap up this discussion on transitions?
Feels great to me.
Feels good to me as well. I think I am complete.
Feels complete.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Well, so that's our invitation, right?
Yes.
That's our invitation for you guys. Try that on. Try the shift in perspective. Try this new perspective on. And see how you can tweak it to work better for you.
Yes. Embrace the in-between.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because remember, really, that's all it is.
That's all it is.
The in-between. Yeah.
Beautiful.
All right. Well, thank you. I love you. Stay tuned and come back for more soon.
Okay. We'll talk to you next time.
Till next time.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this intentional creation. Find us on Instagram @ArtOfIntentionalCreation.